And so we're going to continue with that series this morning. And Stephen McGuenzie is actually travelling back from Port Hedland today, and with a friend, and so he can't be here. So it worked out quite well that Andrew and I could come this morning. And Unami's doing a good job with Stephen, right? Together, forever, serving the Lord. Yeah, that's right. Fantastic. All right, let's read a passage of Scripture, 2 Timothy and chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses. I might read 13, but I doubt we'll get time to look at them all. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all of these things. Always remember that Jesus, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you, Lord, that it brings power and understanding into our world. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us this passage of Scripture. And as Paul was talking with Timothy, Lord, to take over a church in Ephesus, Lord, we thank you that we can learn from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Which set of words best describes you as a Christian? Downtrodden, sad, persecuted, suffering, or courageous, strong, enduring, full of faith? Now the truth is that you could be either or, depending on how you feel, you know, what circumstances you are traveling through. And perhaps because of COVID-19, you found it quite difficult. And who's glad they're actually out from isolation? And because that's helpful. Now, so it's not that we will not be at times wounded or weak or struggling. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, who's writing this to Timothy, is wounded, weak and broken at the time. He's in prison. I'm sure he would have preferred to have been out with the people. And when you look at Paul and the way he speaks with Timothy in this letter, Paul focuses on faith. The word faith shows up 27 times in 1 and 2 Timothy, and fear only turns up twice. That's a courageous man, writing from prison and encouraging his younger people. He's encouraging the Cathys or the Crystals and all these guys that they are to stay in faith and stand strong in God, regardless of the circumstances. God's got you. Can we believe that together as a church? And so Paul, rather than focus on the problem, focused on the answer. The answer is Christ. The answer is our faith in God. Faith always sees a way through. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, I see you moving through this area of your life into a place of strength. Paul is describing to Timothy that he is made for more. Timothy is taking over the church in Ephesus. Now, the Ephesus church was planted by Paul, and it is around 50,000 members. No small task that Timothy is taking on. Can you imagine from that perspective why he might be feeling a little bit timid? And a little bit like, oh my goodness, how can I fill the shoes of my mentor? How can I do that? What Paul has done, and Paul's off actually. He's doing absolute church revival. He's planting churches left, right, and center throughout all of Southeast Asia. And so Timothy's left with this huge responsibility, one of the largest churches at that time. And Paul had entrusted it into Timothy's leadership. And so the local church is what these letters are all about. And so Paul is equipping Timothy to lead this enormous church. It's interesting that we are what we are, and God uses what we are. So don't think that you have to be someone else. God uses who you are and what you are. And there are times when it may feel like you're not doing so much. But I'd say, well, hang on a minute. If you're moving, you're doing what Christ has called you to do, then you're a champion in the house of God. When Andrew and I moved to Frio, we come from Fremantle, originally planted the church. We must have been living in Frio for about 26 years. We've only recently moved to Coogee. And so the church has been going for around 25 years now. And we didn't actually have a grand plan all mapped out for us when we started. We just said, our senior pastor, who was John Finkelde at the time, says, yeah, I think you should go to Fremantle. And so we kind of packed our bags after about 6 months of prayer and moved to Fremantle. My son Jared at the time was 8 months old. And it would have been a little presumptuous to have a big plan. Here we are, the new guys on the block. We've come to Fremantle. And we didn't really know what to do. So we just followed what we knew back up at home, at the home church. But nothing worked. And so, but I tell you one thing, we had one another and we had our relationship with Christ. And when you have one another and you have your relationship with Christ, God will find a way through. And so other pastors who actually even felt sorry for us would send us some of their people. But those people were, those people were a little bit troublesome for us, for them. And so they thought maybe they'd be better with Nigel and Andrea. Guess what happened when they came to us? They became troublesome for us too, and they didn't last too long. And so we were back to Nigel and Andrea and a few other people. Charlie was here, I think, last week, Charlie and Helen. And who knows that if you just stay the course, God gets you through. And it doesn't always work out the way that you think it will, but God's still got a plan. And so I'm encouraged for C3 Wellard this morning. And what do you do when you cannot see a way forward? And this is where I get completely that there are times when we may feel extremely weak, vulnerable, wounded, and struggling. However, amidst the struggles you and I may be facing, we have a God that can get us through, a supernatural God with a strength to endure. Can we take on a bit of his strength today? Lord, I give you my problem. I give you that area. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm in the right place. 2 Timothy 2:1, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. He says, be strong or strengthened, depending on your version that you're looking at. And also there's a second part, how to be strong. So how do we get strength? Paul outlines to Timothy how to become stronger in the next few verses. Number one, be a good soldier. Be a good... Oh, look at that. Claire does a good job for me. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship or suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be like a soldier. When you are a soldier, you can't choose whether you are going to endure hardship or not, whether you will suffer or not. And therefore, we should not be surprised by hardships. understand you and I are in a battle like a soldier. The aim is to please our commanding officer. And our commanding officer is Jesus. Verse 4, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Now, I looked up the Navy SEAL ethos. We have a Navy man with us this morning. I don't know if it's a Navy SEAL, but anyway, we'll move on. I voluntarily accept the inherent hazards of my profession, placing the welfare and security of others before my own. I serve with honour on and off the battlefield. The ability to control my emotions and my actions, regardless of circumstances, sets me apart from other men. Uncompromising integrity is my standard. Does that sound like the Bible to you? It's so close to, isn't it? Christian ethos, so close. Not everyone is going to be comfortable. Not everyone is going to be friendly. But I want to encourage us that we can be the best soldiers ever by just staying the course, because Christ is in our life. And we respect him as head. Not everyone's going to get along with everyone else as well as the next person, but we will have our friends. I am so grateful for some of the soldiers here at C3 Wellard. Are you grateful that you stand alongside other soldiers? Isn't it fantastic? I was talking to Kathy Ackerley this morning about youth, on which has turned into this big girl lounge group. I mean, it's awesome. What a soldier. You know, that's a soldier for Christ, just hanging in there, knowing that she's been called to serve these girls and lead them. That's right. What about Crystal and Richard running the music team? I mean, C3 Wellard have had their you know, things going on and all sorts of areas that we would have preferred not to have. But the truth is, now C3 Wellard has more, I'm jealous, more musicians than Fremantle. And it's become a great group. You can tell that, right? Fantastic. A great soldiers for Christ. And all of you that serve in any area, let's be great soldiers for Christ. And we thank you for all that you're doing in any area. I'd love seeing, actually, some of the online things from Wellard, some of the good news stories, and Joy and the team doing the Kids Zone online. That's been a good soldier. And so, let's take the advice of Paul and man up. Can we do that? So that we don't have to compare ourselves to others, but God's given us abilities and giftings to use for him. And if your desire is to get stronger in Christ, then be a good soldier. Do your best to control your actions and emotions regardless of the circumstances. Ask the Lord to help you when you have uncompromising integrity. Allow the word of God to overflow in your life. For a while during the COVID outbreak, I guess most of us probably watched a little bit more television or read books more or whatever. And I started watching, this is the second one, which is be an athlete, is I started watching strongman competitions. These guys are the strongest in the world, and they're from all different countries. And I was watching this one event, and it was actually held in Botswana. And these guys, they actually showed a bit of video footage in the as they were getting on the aeroplanes. They need two seats because they're so big. Their shoulders actually go past the two seats. One of the guys is from Iceland, 204 kilos, all pretty much muscle, and you know, he's three of me and a bit more. And then legs like tree trunks, you know, those kind of guys. And the other guy that was, it came down to the final, just to cut things short, came down to the final, and it was between the Icelandic guy, his name was Thor, I don't think that was his real name, and then there was Eddie the Beast Hall, and he was from England, and he was about 170 kilos, so he had 35 less kilos on him, but he was as tough as a bull, you know, one of those kind of, anyway, and it came down to whoever was going to win the shoulder press, up and down, like this, and they had like a few hundred kilos, it must have, I don't know how much, it was a lot of weight, on the back, whoever did those with straight legs and straight arms, as many reps as they could do, won the competition. Thor was definitely stronger. The Icelandic man had it, but he was going up. As he's going up, he wouldn't put it right. He couldn't lock out his arms because he was so big. He couldn't get his legs straight. And they took 4 points off him. And Eddie the Beast Hall, the English guy, he's lifting these weights. He's just straight up and down. He's 1.9 metres. Thor's 2.05 metres or something ridiculous. And they're doing these, and Eddie the Beast Hall won. And there was this huge argument at the end. And apparently Thor's, you know, he's kind of like a movie star in Iceland. And so there's this big fight, verbal fight. I did more reps than you. And I think they were grown men being girls. But anyway, they're carrying on. And long story short, the ref goes, no, you didn't do it right. You actually didn't lock out your arms, Thor, like you were supposed to do, and your knees were slightly bent. And so Eddie the Beast Hall won. And what was that all about? who liked the story anyway? But this is what the verse says, right? An athlete, verse 5, cannot win the prize unless he follows the rules. An athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified. And so Paul says, isn't that true of us as Christians? Okay, let's move on. Paul says to Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself. This is in 1 Timothy 4:16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. Now, this is in a time where many of the leaders of the church were actually rebelling against Paul and the Word of God and bringing in other doctrines. And so let's stay true to the course of God for our lives and the Word of God that He has for us. So just as sport teaches us right and wrongs and that there are winners and losers, you win because you have earned it. You have obtained the prize. And Paul is saying that when it comes to our eternal life, not everyone is going to get a medal. It's pretty PC for all kids to get a medal because, oh, you did a good job, Juddy. But actually, that's actually not good training. Because part of our life is actually realizing that it's hard work, sweat, determination, and that we know that we've done a good job to win the prize. And so Paul is describing that you and I run straight to the goal. We achieve our goal through Christ front and center. And lastly, be a farmer. Be a farmer. Have you ever met, well, I don't know, who's ever got any farming background here? Anyone? A few of you guys. Fantastic. Well, I don't think I've ever met a non-hardworking farmer. Well, farmers are hardworking. Because if they don't do the hard work, they don't get a crop. If they don't get a crop, if they don't feed the animals, what happens? They die. And so, let's look at it. Verse 6. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruits of their labour. I listened to a report, I think it was the Channel 9 news, of a lady farmer who lost her husband, and she was running the farm still. Karen Mills was her name, in Wattle Downs, and there was only been 4 mil of rain in the last 2 years in this farm. And the interviewer asked Karen how she kept going. And Karen Mills replied, serious, this is what she said, I put my big girl pants on every morning, the animals need me, and if I don't hand feed them, they die. We're talking $10,000 a week to feed the sheep on her property alone. Now, coming through COVID, we have had the opportunity to assess what is really important to us. May I suggest that we could have a little more farmer in us? The scripture says to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. It does not say escape. It does not say excuse yourself from. It does not say avoid. Deal with it, cope with it, like a good farmer or an athlete. And let's see the kingdom of God won for Christ. Let's see ourselves rising in our discipleship. And so the pursuit isn't in our world to try and avoid pain is rampant. Yet nothing of worth is achieved without pain. I've actually been hospitalized a number of times back in the early days because of when we were getting the building, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. And I just put it down to the fact that there was, like Timothy, a lot of anxiety and pain, and everything came out clear, all clear, which, praise God. But there are things that we do, and there's suffering that we go through in order to see the end result. And if we hadn't have stayed the course, Andrew and I and our family, then there wouldn't have been C3 Fremantle, and there certainly wouldn't have been C3 Wellard. But I'm so grateful that we have been good soldiers in that sense. An athlete that has stayed the course, stayed to the rules. A farmer that is prepared to do the hard work. Are we learning something today? And so when we take the words of Paul seriously, we must recognize that we are made for more. Made to serve him, worship him, live out our lives. And so can I say, like Paul is saying to Timothy, the local church is vital. Work hard when you play sport, if you're young enough still. Work hard at being a parent. Work hard at your job. A career is what you are paid to do. A calling is what you are made to do. Think over how you and your relationship with Christ is tracking and adjust to stay on course for your life. 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong, strengthened by grace in Christ. Paul imparted to Timothy. Timothy is then to impart to faithful men, and those faithful men are then to impart to others. In verse 10, Paul says to Timothy to keep on pressing on. And yet Paul had his fair share of people causing him trouble, and he mentions some of these men in these two apostles. But ultimately Paul gets back to the fact that you and I are to persevere anyway. Let's stay focused on our objective and have Christ in our life. And he is faithful. Paul mentions this in this passage. He never lets us down. He can't. Even then, when we're faithless and we all have those moments, he's still faithful. And here's the thing. Endurance is a team sport. Soldiers need other soldiers to hold them up in battle. Athletes, if I could just have a few musos, please, that'd be fantastic. Whole music team, Crystal, if you could just start to sing a song, that'd be awesome in the background for me. Soldiers need other soldiers to hold them up in battle. Athletes need other athletes to bring out their best. There is nothing wrong with a bit of competition in church. Did you hear what they did? How much they gave? Wow, I've got something to look up to. And third, farmers are hardworking. They are not lazy. They inspire one another with the courageous stories of faith inside and outside the church.